Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
On a 1-2, Ohtani sends one in the air. The other way, back it goes! Gone! One-of-a-kind player! One-of-a-kind season! Shohei Ohtani starts the 50-50 club!
I would think it's really important, Adam Hill, as we start hour two of Cofield & Company. We're on in Reno. It's brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyer. 766-1400 is the number. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. I would assume for our play-by-play voices, they really take those moments seriously. Like, you can't botch a historic call, like a 50-50. And Joe Davis did a really good job there on Dodgers TV. Projected a lot of excitement. Sometimes that doesn't happen. And there's nothing wrong with being really excited and even being a borderline homer. Why not? For something like that, it's worth
it. Yeah, I mean, in general, homerism isn't the greatest thing, but there are exceptions.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't. He's not being the guy. Two of my. It's interesting because I think one goes too far one way, and the other is underwhelming. And they've both been longtime voices of their NFL teams. I think Dave Logan is mostly underwhelming with the Broncos. And then Paul Allen is a freaking lunatic with the Vikings.
No! Very unhappy.
By the way, our guy Matt Neverett is going to be calling the Aviators game tonight. Remember, this is the end of the regular season this weekend. Tonight is fireworks night. Yesterday was the last Thirsty Thursday. Tonight is fireworks night. 7:05 first pitch, El Paso. The Chihuahuas against the Aviators. So get out to the park and watch a game.
And fireworks.
And fireworks.
They're awesome.
Man, I love fireworks. We nearly ended the show and especially our relationship with the Plaza the other day. I don't know what we were doing. I was watching back and we had Jonathan Jossel on. He's the big guy, the boss there. And you and I got into one of our traditional nonsense arguments over fireworks and then drums. And he was involved, and he just looked at us like, please stop.
I think he enjoyed it.
Please stop. And then Cindy from Sincere Entertainment with Steve Sear jumped in with a question, and I did breathe a sigh of relief. I'm like, I can't get out of this.
I think he liked it. I think he wanted to go back to the argument.
We got to some good conversation. Go check it out on social media, Instagram. You can follow us now on Instagram, at ESPN Las Vegas, at Steve Cofield, lots of other spots. The convo with Jossel about the big, beautiful block party, I think was really important to get to.
For sure.
We're big fans of downtown. We're big fans of the Strip. We're big fans of this place. But downtown has to, kind of find its place on big weekends and then rebound from news that maybe is not pleasant, like Life is Beautiful, with new ownership, leaving for now. So they came through with this event at the Plaza.
Yeah, and it's going to be very different, and I think that's the important thing that he's trying to get across. Like, it's not Life is Beautiful. It's not what has been in the past. You're not going to go see the same thing. It's also not as expensive. It's also not as overwhelming in terms of traffic and everything else.
Locking down downtown. The funny thing is, I looked at their website, and they carried over a lot of the information from LIB because it was talking about like basically a blackout for phones. I'm like, what the hell goes on downtown? Like, nothing works.
Well, be warned. It was hard. There was too many people, and so you couldn't really get a rideshare.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people at the same time doing it. It's just a very different experience. And, I think some people like it more. Some people won't like it as much. But it's just important for people to know it's different.
Big four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
May not be the most important game of the weekend, but it's must-watch television with the Coach Prime Shadur Buffs.
Is it?
Taking on Baylor. I assume this is Florio who wrote this story, and a lot of it is based in facts. But it does say the Coach Prime effect isn't drawing TV crowds like it did a year ago. Factually, that is correct. They're down 51% from last year over the first three games. I mean, to put that in perspective, the what? Second least important in Colorado's important, but the second least important game on their schedule, Colorado and CSU last week, got 3.25 million viewers. It was the biggest viewed or the biggest audience for a Western area game. So they're still doing good numbers.
That got Colorado State into the Pac-12.
You think?
Yeah.
I think the announcement came. Maybe that got the big numbers. Maybe it was Colorado State people wanted. They're like, we want to see this new Pac-12 team.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think the Pac-12 was like, oh, look, Colorado State drawing numbers. We know that viewership for Coach Prime is down. Colorado State, though, they're driving
traffic.
Them.
Yeah. Give me your take on Coach Prime. Another interesting week following the game, an interesting post-game with the players. And there was a lot of stuff going on.
Kids brought their offensive lineup for a press conference. Nice. They're just it's a mediocre football team. And they obviously have a lot of attention because of what they're trying to do there and Coach Prime and everything else. And there's interest, but I do believe it's waning. I think it's gone down from last year. I think a lot of people thought they were watching a team that was going to win a national championship. They were, misled and fooled. And I think it's the old, can't get fooled again. And they're not gonna buy into a team that's just mediocre.
Number three. I got to watch. Well, I watched the second half a lot of Jets and Patriots, TNF on Amazon. You ask, hey, why didn't you watch the first half? Well, when I'm doing a show, I'm not really watching games.
Sure.
So we went until 6 o'clock last night, and then a drive home. I see the same panel of folks who are kind of breaking down the game. I saw something with Nikki Glaser. How do they use her?
She did like a post game roast.
Post game.
Yeah, she was
really
on there. I think it was post. Oh, I watched a post game. I think it was post game.
Okay. What'd she do?
She was just kind of making comments and jokes and doing somewhat roast material. Obviously not, Tom Brady roast material like she was doing, but obviously she made a big name among sports fans.
Yeah.
And with her Tom Brady performance, and so I think Amazon was like, hey, let's bring her in.
Fire this?
It's Late Hits with Nikki Glaser.
Oh.
I'm not going to say that Andrew Whitworth looks like Men's Warehouse Shrek. Or,
I like that one.
Or that Tony Gonzalez looks like who my mom thinks about during one of her long baths.
Uh-huh.
Really, I am so honored to be here tonight with all of these NFL legends and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Or, as your teammates called you, Sacked Galifianakis.
Zach Galifianakis is
I like the way she set it up. NFL legends, and then there's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right.
That's kind of good.
Like, her material is fine.
But without the audience that's sitting there screaming in the background, maybe they needed to beam it to them, but I they're probably too drunk to even understand it.
I would say film it in, like, a comedy club during the week.
Oh, maybe.
If she's going to do this regularly and just have the audience and have the natural reactions.
Well, you are the king of comedy,
I do study comedy.
I know you do. I'm not mocking
much
on you.
King of Comedy is a ridiculous comment, obviously, but I do study stand-up, and I follow a lot of stand-ups, and it's almost an impossible job for any stand-up, even the greatest that exists, to do like a no-audience roast.
King of Comedy critique.
Sure.
King of Comedy critic.
Yeah. Critique of...
Critiquer.
Critiquing of comedy? I don't know.
Come on, be smooth. We got people watching us. We're stumbling and bumbling. Rumbling and rumbling.
So, yeah, I mean, I just think that to ask somebody to do this with no audience or no participation, anything like that, is brutal for any comedian. So it's just not a fair position to put her in. And then I saw people all over social media. She wasn't even getting laughs. Like, no kid, there was not anybody there. What are you talking about?
Yes, yes. Sit in. Get the dump button ready. Let's do it. Number two. Patriots. They're not good right now. They were, there's some positive vibes coming out of the first two games. They went 1-1. I think everyone's waiting for the moment in the season when Drake May is going to play. Based on what I saw in just a few series, he needs to sit for a little while longer. It was coming real fast at him. Or am I wrong? You know what? They suck. The only way to get better is to go out there and freaking play.
Well, no, because I think one of the reasons they put Drake May in at the end of the game was because Jacoby Brissett was getting killed.
Yeah.
And
the logic is, hey, let's get our project quarterback, young guy, let's get him killed.
No, let's save his body a little bit.
Yeah.
Not take four more hits here on the final drive. And Drake May, you can take a couple, get in there, try to get the ball, get rid of the ball. Probably not going to be the number one defense, probably not going to be a whole lot of stunts. Just get in there and try to sling it around, and he ended up getting hit a bunch too. But I think those are more on him. And, you know, it was a learning experience. And I think after the game, everybody's like, no, it's time. It's his time. Like, no, it's not. It's not his time.
No.
It was just a little cameo at the end of the game. Just get him some work. And I think this is how they're going to continue to manage him.
And I'm assuming last night that Joe Milton, the three, wasn't active?
No, it can't be.
Okay.
It can be, but you never would.
I almost feel like in this situation, maybe Drake May shouldn't be active and Joe Milton can go out there and take the beating. Although the fear from Patriots management might be Joe Milton could turn out better than our top five.
We don't know which one our future is.
But you know what happens, especially in markets like that. If Joe Milton actually excelled a little bit.
Oh, of course.
All of a sudden, now we've got a quarterback controversy in the two spot.
Yeah. You know that you're getting yourself into that position potentially. And that's the position they put themselves in with Drake May last night. If he would have, you know, engineered two scoring drives in the last 4 minutes, all of a sudden people are demanding him be the quarterback. It's not really what happened. He was okay. And then obviously today, Jared Mayo comes out and says, Brissett is the quarterback until I say he's not the quarterback.
I like it.
Yeah.
Affirmative. Authoritative. Number one.
Number one.
So people are feeling kind of good about the Raiders. Upset victory on the road against the Ravens. The pass game got going a little better downfield. Can any of this work where they can win 9 or 10 games if Zamir White is going for 16 yards a game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can work because the defense is so good. It's possible. And, you know, again, they have fallen into that thing that we talked about in 2021 where they were not a playoff team, but they had a bunch of breaks. Well, they play six of their last seven games, I think, against backup quarterbacks. And all of a sudden you start to look at the schedule and say, okay, I mean, well, they're playing a backup quarterback this week because the starter stunk, but they are playing another backup quarterback. Look ahead. Tua's hurt. Bo Nix is struggling. Like, all of a sudden, these games that look like they might be a little tougher are a lot easier.
Good. Chance to be a great team.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson is struggling. No, a chance to win games as a not great team.
Great team. Great teams win 10, 11 games.
Yeah. And again, last week they were by far the inferior team and won. And that's possible. Like, those things can happen. But I have said this week a couple times when asked about it, like, I like the response. Nobody around that building was saying, hey, we went out and won that game. We were great. It was, okay, we have a lot of work to do. That was not pretty, not good. That's not how we want to win. Let's get back to work. And so nobody was really celebrating what they did last week, which I think is a good sign. But they can win ugly, and they can continue to do that with some of the teams. But they do want to get their run game going. And Antonio Pierce said he wants to give the ball to Zamir White at least 20 times this week. I actually took that information to Zamir White, and he said, I don't care if I block 75 plays this week. We won.
That's a good attitude.
That's usually his attitude. So, we'll see how it goes on Sunday. But Derek Brown not playing for Carolina, massive. By far their best player.
Have they explained, we got 30 seconds before a break here, but have they explained why they think the run game hasn't been working? Yeah, or Zamir White hasn't been working?
The offensive line kind of stinks. But right now, I think they're going to get a lot better. Jackson Powers Johnson will be back soon. Colton Miller, this is his training camp. Missed all of training camp. This is his training camp right now. Andre James is asked to do a lot of different things in this offense, the center. He's starting to get a little bit better, pick it up. So they are making moves in the right direction, even if it hasn't showed up on the stat sheet. They have not run for 100 yards total this year.
Got to be able to run it. Got to be able to grind some clock. Have to do it. Maybe it starts against the Panthers.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Aaron Rodgers, they got a problem. He's cooked. As far as mobility, he's cooked.
Throw, on, staying inbounds, yes, touchdown. Garrett Wilson.
And if he can't move, this is an issue.
Rodgers rolling and looking and throwing and completing. And a first down.
And they also don't have but so many people for him to throw the ball to.
Jeremy Ruckert.
Who is it? What? Jeremy who? I guess that was one of the guys that the Jets have no one to throw to. So, Bomani Jones, rough one there. Was wrong on all fronts. Improve, Jets. Not going to go crazy over beating the hell out of the Patriots, but they did what they had to do. Just like the Raiders, if you want to win 9 or 10 games, make the playoffs, You can't lose to the Patriots. You can't lose to the Panthers. We'll get to Raiders-Panthers here in less than 5 minutes. Well, look at this guy. Patrick Berbert is in with us, the TI risk supervisor here at the Sportsbook. What is that, a new Rolex you got on?
Nothing. I wish.
How much did that tie? I mean, how much money did you guys make last week slaughtering us? You guys, when the dogs come in and they come in outright, man, you guys must be – you're popping champagne in the back.
It was an amazing week, and reaching around the industry, all the other books had the same thing as well.
Yeah,
all the heavy favorites ended up losing, so it killed all those money line parlays, and then on top of that, the public just hammering those heavy spreads. It was a phenomenal week, last week for us in NFL.
By the way, my cackling was not laughing at the fans and the players, because that's me. We'll get you back. The funny thing on that, Adam, is that we'll get you back. 2 weeks out of 18, we'll get you.
Sure.
That's when it happens. Or someone's going to hit a 10-teamer or a 12-teamer. Yeah, we're winning. But all the 10 and 12-teamers and 15-teamers that don't come in, we don't talk about that a whole lot. All right. I'm excited about NFL Week 3 here. I'm really stoked about a lot of college football games. So let's hit some of the biggest. And, well, I was going to say I want to hit both dogs, but I don't like where the Michigan line has gone, and people have hit that one. Let's start with Tennessee on the road. They've been awesome. Have they been awesome enough to be laying this many? Oklahoma's first SEC game. I think Oklahoma's feeling a little bit of – probably has a little moxie, little extra going into this one because they're kind of getting dissed. But is this the right number? Should Tennessee be favored by this much?
I believe it's the right number for this game. Tennessee, yes, they have looked extremely well to start the year. Their schedule remains in question so far. They haven't really played a good opponent, so this is going to be their first real test on the road right here. But I think the Tennessee definitely has the more firepower offense of what we've seen so far. You either like or don't like Jackson Arnold for Oklahoma. Some people like him, some people don't. So this is going to be a real test for him. Yes, they're going to have that home environment this weekend, but I think that Tennessee is going to be able to really put points on the board, but the public is back in Tennessee heavy in this one, and it's really hard to buy bets on Oklahoma, and this number hasn't even come off of 7 anywhere.
All right, you're the follow-up.
Yeah, I was going to say, USC is playing Michigan. I'm a Michigan fan. They stink. I said it all year. Said it going into the Texas game. I have to imagine the public is lining up to bet on USC against a terrible Michigan team, despite a quarterback change.
This is one where it's a little more clear-cut of where the bettors are going with this. The public, like you said, is betting USC. The sharps are on Michigan. That number is down to 4.
And they were against Texas, too, by the way. Sharps were on Texas, too.
Yeah. But they're making a quarterback change this week.
Yep.
They're switching from Davis Warren and going to Alex Orji.
Alex Orji.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be it's got to go up from here. It can't get any worse.
It
can't get worse than that. They are at home. They're a great home team. So hopefully Michigan's able to hang in there and give a good game because, as we know, USC has looked really impressive. They had that Labor Day weekend win against LSU. So hopefully we get two high-powered teams be able to show up.
You have a lot of power here. Definitely tell Tony Neville. Bruh, we can hear you. I think there's got to be a volume level adjustment on that. That's awesome. He's going to come back on again, by the way. He'll come back on here in a second. Because every time he does speak, we're like, okay, good, it's over. And then, okay. we love Tony. Patrick Berbert here at TI. Let's go through some NFL games. First, did I read this right? Did Brevin Jordan go down with an ACL?
Yep, he's done.
Come on.
I know.
What a lousy break. I said before the season, I think the Texans will backslide. Have you seen enough from the Texans where you're like, you know what, this is a legit team. They can be good or better than last year. And this week they're in Minnesota.
Yeah, this is probably one of the better games of this Sunday. Obviously, as we know, you know, the Texans, they really surprised a lot of people last year and they were really well. And then coming into this year, they were supposed to be one of the better teams in the AFC. They're 2-0 to start the year. On offense, they brought in Diggs, so there was a little questions about whether the three receivers were going to mesh well there, and then also got Dalton Schultz at tight end, so that's a really good offense that they have going there. The Texans are playing really well on defense also, so that's huge for them. But I think that the biggest surprise has been the Vikings, who they're going to go on the road and play. Sam Darnold is kind of like in his last, like, prove it as a starter in the NFL, I believe. So he's been trying to play really well for them. They're going to have Justin Jefferson this week. He's good to go. So that's a huge piece for them. So I think that this is going to be one of the games to watch this Sunday.
And the Vikings' last good game of the year. As everybody knows, and I know Pro Football Focus pointed this out before the year, the five greatest quarterbacks all time are Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Patrick Mahomes. There's one other one on there. And then first 3 weeks of the season, Sam Darnold. The five best quarterbacks of all time. That's what Pro Football Focus said before the year started. This will be week three, so this is his last week to play well. But we'll see how that works out. That was one that's been sticking in my mind as being funny because everybody's freaking out about how good he is. And I'm like, every year he's good the first 3 weeks. I'll throw this out to you because I don't know what's happened in the last hour since we've been here. Everybody in the world knows Justin Herbert's not playing, right? Like, the line felt like it moved completely out of control the last 2 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. That line shifted up to a 3.5 on the Steelers most places. But it's going to be a gritty defensive game, I believe, no matter what. Harbaugh came in there with the Chargers, and he's shown that he wants to run the ball, well, mostly. So it's going to – and the Steelers have played really well on defense this year, but they've also had trouble moving the ball. So, I mean, if I'm approaching this game, I'm looking at an under here, honestly.
When these kind of things happen, like, what are you guys freaking out behind the counter? Are you like, where is this coming from? Like, how do you deal with this kind of thing with – it hasn't been reported, but clearly somebody knows something.
Yeah, I mean, he's been questionable for most of the week, so it's kind of been baked into the number already. And then when the actual news actually comes out, then it jumps up that point for sure. But I don't think it was too concerning, especially since it was already baked into that number due to the concern.
Yeah, ankle issue. For Justin Herbert. Eagles and Saints. The Saints are, I think, the greatest football team that's ever taken the field in the history of planet Earth. At some point it stops. Is it this week?
I hope not. As a fan, it was rough the past few years watching Pete Carmichael run that offense. They brought in Clint Kubiak from the 49ers, and it just seems that anybody that comes out of that Shanahan coaching tree, they end up doing well wherever they go. Same thing with C.J. Stroud's situation last year. As well, but I think the Saints, they're going to continue to roll here. They're spreading the ball really well, and the Eagles without A.J. Brown, they looked really concerned in Monday night. So Saints have a really good defense. They should have Lattimore back this week as well. So I believe the Saints get this done at home.
Raiders playing their home opener against the Panthers, the worst team in the NFL. But Bryce Young is announced as out. The line comes down a little bit. Raiders still a significant favorite, but it's under a touchdown. Interesting to point out here that I think people have been missing a little bit. Panthers don't have fans. So the Raiders actually have a home field advantage this week for, like, the first time ever. That'll be interesting to watch. Is it enough for the Raiders to cover it here?
Normally you'd be saying this could be a huge letdown game for the Raiders, especially after beating the Ravens last week. But since Minshew threw that interception last week and Max Crosby went up to him and kind of said, like, we got your back, they seem to, like, really turn it around and they came together as a team. And normally, if it was any other team from the Panthers, I would think differently. I don't think Dalton is a guy that's going to be able to get it done. And this Panther team is really making me get last year's Patriot vibes, where every week the Patriots steam down, all the sharps were on the Patriots, and they just end up getting blown out week after week. It's been that 3 weeks in a row for the Panthers now.
Lions-Cardinals, what are we doing?
This is a really interesting game as well. As we know, Lions NFC Championship game last year, they have a really good offense as well. The Cardinals have looked really good 2 weeks in a row. They could have beat the Bills. They weren't able to close it out, and then they demolished the Rams last week. So Kyler Murray's playing a really good football. They've got a good running back game, and Marvin Harrison came around last week. They've got Trey McBride at tight end, who really hasn't got it going yet, but I think they'll get him more involved. So I'm looking at an offensive shootout here this week between these games.
Last one with Patrick Berbert from the Sportsbook here at the Golden Circle TI. Let's go to Sunday Night Football. Chiefs now down Hollywood Brown. Isaiah Pacheco, I think, was going to have a breakout year. He's done. The number's three here. Chiefs on the road with these numbers are always a fascinating follow to see which side is going to get the money.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised because this game is over that three mark. You're sitting 3.5. I wouldn't be surprised if the public will take that 3.5 points. But, you know, this is a key number for Mahomes here. When you get to those shorter numbers, he loves covering these numbers. He plays really well in those situations. And the Chiefs, I mean, they're 2-0 to start the year. They squeaked out two of those wins, but they played really good opponents, and they're off back-to-back Super Bowls. Until they're proven otherwise, they're the best team in the NFL, in my opinion.
All right, Patrick. Good job, man. We'll talk to you soon. There he is, Patrick Berbert from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside TI. Remember, great food. Breakfast on the weekends for the early games. The Cofield and Company staff, at least 2/7 of it, loves the chicken salad sandwich. I'm a big fan of the Loco Mocos, two to pick from. And you can never, ever lose with their awesome chicken fingers and chicken wings.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
So you guys are out there at every practice. You guys watch us all the time, but there's a special teams period where I catch some footballs and I like to observe you guys. And you guys really need to up your sneaker game. It's absolutely atrocious. I got some Vomeros, those are fire. And Grant wears Vans every single day. New Balances, they look like Vans. It's okay.
Adam, do you care enough about the Raiders player opinions? That was George Kittle on the way back. I don't think you heard that. George Kittle on the way back doing shoe evaluation about a month ago of the San Fran media. Do players get on you guys about how you look in the locker room? I know they make sure that you don't step on the logo.
Not anymore.
New rules?
Only at the stadium, not at the facility.
Oh, wow. So some of the jabrons can walk wherever they want?
Yeah, I still don't.
You still have respect for it.
Old habits die hard, I guess.
Yes.
It's funny. I actually had a long conversation about shoes in the locker room today with a couple of players.
I'm mental like that.
Yeah.
And?
Well, there a bunch of them. Obviously, Devontae Adams has like one of the most ridiculous shoe collections ever.
Well, I mean, he's got a golf cart and a Taco Bell in his house. Well, so
Jordan brand guy.
You would think he'd have a lot of shoes. You ever talk to him about how many, like, what is his access to the shoes? How many does he get comped?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah, a lot. There was a big thing last year because, obviously, Sabrina Ionescu's fiancé, now husband, was on the team.
Grasso.
So they all got the Sabrina 1s before they came out. So that was big. A bunch of players actually have the shoes that I want more than any shoe on the planet right now. And I was actually talking to a couple of them today. I was like, where did you get these? Apparently one of the other players gifted a bunch of guys the shoe last year. It made me very, very upset.
Nice.
There is a media person who has made, like, who's independently wealthy and has made, like, shoes a big thing for himself.
Okay.
Was wearing some pretty good ones today.
Okay.
So that, I mean, he's like kind of made taken it upon himself, although he doesn't know how to wear them, which is interesting.
Can you explain any of that, please?
You know, last year he had heard some shoes were popular, so he went get out there. Heard some shoes were popular, so went out and got some, and then wore some ridiculous socks.
Oh, bad socks!
And everybody's like, "Dude, you clearly have never worn those, or don't know what you're doing. What are you doing?" He's just pretending like he's a shoe guy because people have talked about shoes.
I feel like, is this a white?
Sure.
Why not just say it? There's clearly that angle when you're listening between lines.
Sure.
Did Dylan Lauby's dancing a couple weeks ago, did that earn him more credit or did they find him annoying?
I mean,
was it too much?
So it's a thing, just so people know, it's not like you just dance for no reason. Every right. Friday, two rookies are pitted against each other in a dance contest, and Dylan Lauby actually did fairly well, but now it's kind of blown up into just the whole thing. I will say today was the one everybody's been waiting for. It was Brock Bowers against Tommy Eichenberg.
Devontae Adams said on Kay Adams' show that Brock Bowers doesn't care about anything but football. Can he dance?
He also had one of my favorite lines so far this season on Wednesday. When somebody asked him, and I can't remember who it was, like, how did you finally break the ice with Brock Bowers to where, like, he's a friend, he's a teammate, and not just, like, some robot. And Devontae said, I think we're still skating.
Yeah, that's I saw that.
It's fantastic.
Again, I was waiting for the line. I brought him to my taco restaurant at my house.
He should have.
That should break all the ice. Anyone who has that, you should be bringing people over.
It wasn't on quarterback or on receiver. I don't think he actually has the Taco Bell.
What?
I don't think he actually has one.
I don't understand. But it's in the commercial.
That's just a commercial.
Okay.
Which I haven't seen, but I've heard about.
You still haven't seen it because you don't watch commercials.
No, I don't.
All of that was set up for George Kittle's health. It doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't sound good.
A lot of players on the 49ers health doesn't sound
good. Well, I want to hear more from you on what you're hearing on Herbert, because I hadn't heard that early in the day, but you're right. The betting lines right now on the Steelers and the Chargers, the line has been very altered. Something's happening.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Betting. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, we're going to talk to our Friday regular expert in just a couple minutes, Kenny White. Kenny White Sports will be with us. It's Cofield and Company on the scene here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. So we got a really good college football slate tonight, I think. I think there's value on two of the three dogs. Brad Powers yesterday thought all three dogs had value. Adam, you just got stuck in a time warp, as I often do, because I still think the Seattle Seahawks are in the AFC West. But that one's pretty bad. Stanford and Syracuse, you look up on TV. What was your first thought?
Like, why are they playing? It's a conference game. They're both in the ACC.
Sure.
That is wild.
I can't wait for that key ACC game between SMU and Cuse, which I don't even know if they play, but that's another one that's going to – SMU playing the teams in the ACC is going to be a mine, you know what.
Stanford definitely. Definitely.
Stanford absolutely is.
It's ridiculous.
Like, I don't even get this regional matchup, but, yeah, they're in the same conference for now. We should probably once again extinguish the fact, and I feel pretty comfortable with this one. Stanford is not playing in this new Pac-12.
I hope they are.
Didn't want to be with the Mountain West Conference schools. Their snoot overtook them.
I think there's a chance.
Really?
Okay. Once Clemson and Florida State are gone,
all
the rats are going to be leaving the ship.
Okay. Let's bring in Kenny White, talk some NFL, talk some college football. Kenny's up with Adam Hill and Steve Cofield here on ESPN Las Vegas. How are you, sir?
Hey, Steve, Adam. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on the show. It's been a long time since I've seen Adam Hill.
Adam, he can see you on camera.
Hey, what's up?
It's a different level. Hello. This man is all over the country. It's nice to have us all, the gang's all back together. All right. So last 2 weeks ago when we talked last, we got into a lot of NFL. We got some NFL spots coming up, but I'm enthused that you're very much into what's going on in college football tomorrow. Baylor and Colorado, the experts we've talked to this week don't really want to touch the game much, maybe favoring Baylor, getting some points. I haven't really seen anyone comment on the total. You want in?
Yeah, I like both these quarterbacks in this football game. And it may not be Raekwon Finn for Baylor tomorrow. It's probably going to be Sawyer Robertson. But he had a nice game. He has experience from last year. I like the offense. They play up tempo. They do run about 60% of the time, but that's okay. That'll set up the pass in this game. Colorado cannot run. And it's not that they refuse to run. It's just they cannot run. So they have to throw the football. So we got a nice little battle here with two quarterbacks of two teams that go up tempo. So, yeah, I thought this total was extremely low. And it went down even more because of the news about Daquan Finn not playing. It was up to 53.5. But when the news came out that he probably will not play once again, this total was about 50. And I think it's still right there. I haven't checked since yesterday. It ticked back up again. It's up to 51.5.
Have you seen the goofy two-minute warning rule or two-minute timeout rule making any difference in totals at all in college now that there is that little extra timeout late in the game?
I think it's going to add maybe a point or if that per game. Scoring is just so far down in both college football and the NFL. Scoring in college football in 2019 was 50 points a game. It's declined to 52 points a game last year.
Steve mentioned SMU in a goofy scenario just as you were coming back.
Well, I love this one. Kenny, we were just talking about how it's just mentally taxing to see teams play each other, and you're like, wait, they're on the same conference? Like, TCU and SMU, I mean, they're in the same, you know, city, they're the Metroplex, and it's just like, oh, okay, things are normal here, but this is a non-con game. Adam, I cut you off. No. Finish up if you want.
No, I was just, they're playing TCU, getting a couple of points at home.
Yeah, this is an SMU team. When I ran them out in, I think, back in May or June, I said, this is going to be one of the teams I'm going to make money on. This team is loaded offensively and defensively, and I don't think a lot of people have respect for them. The problem is Preston Stone, I do not believe, was 100% to start the season. He made two nice drives at the end of the Nevada game to win the game. Houston Christian was a walkover, and then they played BYU. And I loved Baylor, or I loved SMU in that game against BYU. But I'm looking at the stats, and Stone threw one pass. And I'm thinking, well, he must have gotten hurt. I switch over to one of the SMU boards, the message board, and all I could see was, get Stone out. He stinks. We don't want Stone. Put in Kevin Jennings. And there was no mention about an injury. So they must not like him. They like Kevin Jennings. But I think Stone's the way better quarterback. The Jennings kid did move the football between the 20s, but he struggled when he got in the red zone. He does need reps, and the more reps he gets, the better he's going to get. So I took really Stone out, made him the backup. I put Jennings as the quarterback. I dropped 4 points off their offense. And I still compare numbers and rosters. I think SMU has the better roster. I have their offense 6th-1st right now in college football with Jennings at quarterback. Their defense, number 27. TCU, I have number 33 offensively, number 59 on defense. I have SMU a half a point better. The home field's probably worth about 3 points because you're right, it's only a 45-minute drive from TCU to SMU. But SMU's lost three in a row in this series, maybe more. I only look back 3 years. That's all I needed. SMU will be ready for this game. I think you're going to see a good battle out of them this week. And, again, I think they have the better roster. I think they win the game.
We talked about this game earlier a little bit, but my Michigan Wolverines stink. I knew that coming into the season, but it's been even worse than I thought. They're getting 5.5 at home against USC. And, yes, a conference game. Michigan is making a quarterback change. Is there any hope for the Wolverines?
Adam, it was amazing. This line in July, the games of the year at South Point, Michigan opened 10. Yeah, I know that they have not looked good. Obviously, with Harbaugh leaving, that leaves a big gap because it's hard to fill his shoes. I believe he was a likable coach. I think the players really liked him. You know, everything that went on there with Tapegate, that there's a couple problems there. However, he didn't leave the cupboard bare. This team is loaded with NFL players. Their defense is one of the best in the country. They've struggled offensively. But again, my daughter, Alex White, who's on with you guys during the week, Alex said to me, Dad, do they always say if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback? And I always say, well, if you got two good quarterbacks, that's really not true. But then when I thought about it, it is true. When you got two voices talking to the offense, there could be confusion there. Who do I trust? Coaches, players say things the different way, and maybe there's confusion. There's no continuity with one quarterback in Alex Orji. I think that's going to help the Michigan offense, but their defense is terrific. Lincoln Riley's done a great job kind of rebuilding this USC team this year, and I have them in the top 25. I have them now rated right there with Michigan, but rated just right there. I don't have them better than Michigan. I would have had them make them about a 10-point advantage over Michigan to show this type of betting line. So I think this will be a battle. We saw USC on a neutral here, beat LSU. And then against Utah State was just, you know, a pancake game, an easy game. This is going to be a really tough game for him going on the road at the big house here with this many fans yelling and screaming. It's going to be crazy. Michigan got their test with Texas, and they probably learned a lot about themselves. So I really like Michigan in this spot.
KennyWhiteSports.com. Kenny White is with us. It's Cofield & Company at TI. We're tracking a lot of college football tonight. Let's get to the NFL. Boy. You're a brave man. You're going to go back to the well, and I have no idea if you bet the Giants for the first couple weeks, but I was into the Giants last week a little bit. I mean, now they're getting a sizable number here. So what do we do with the Giants?
You know, thank goodness, Steve, for the NFL, because I'm always telling people the college football is where to make your money. And I bet 3%, 2 to 3% of my bankroll on college football plays, but I only bet 1% on the NFL. But thank goodness I do bet it, because it has been very strong for me so far. The NFL has come up roses so far. So I've bet against the Giants the first 2 weeks of the season.
Nice.
I watched Danny Dimes and these quarterbacks that were injured last year, and then they really don't play in preseason. They've struggled. We saw Rodgers did not look good in week one. We saw Cousins did not look good in week one. Danny Dimes did not look good in week one. They all looked better in week two. And we saw what Aaron Rodgers did last night in week three. Jones moved the team last week. If they went out a field goal kicker, they'd probably win the game. And I think he'll be able to move the football this week against Cleveland. I think that's, you know, an overreaction. This is the NFL. Dogs are covering. And I still feel like this is just another preseason week. This is like the last preseason week. These guys still are not in 100% game shape. Nowhere near midseason form. And anything can happen. So, yeah, give me the Giants. I think that Danny Dimes keeps his team in the game, and that's going to be a close game. I think Cleveland has a little bit of a letdown as well.
When you looked at Raiders-Panthers, Raiders 5.5, total 40, you got a leaner like, or just like, yeah, you know what, I'm staying away?
I don't really like to bet favorites in the NFL, and that's why I really didn't bet this game. But I made the Raiders 11. The Carolina team has a lot of injuries on defense, and they're not good as it is. So now you're bad, and you have injuries. That just makes things worse. I have Andy Dalton a one-point upgrade over Bryce Young. So he's the better quarterback. They're going to upgrade there, but that defense is so bad. And the biggest reason why I talk myself out of betting the Raiders, that upset win last week at Baltimore, I think that's the toughest part. I don't like to lay 5.5 when the Raiders win by one on Sunday. They're going to celebrate like they won a playoff game. So they'll be happy and I'll be mad. I'll just stay away.
I got a minute left. I think a key, like you said last week, because it's always overreaction week two. I think there's an overreaction week three in the way the players, the bettors play. I'm not afraid of the Rams. They're getting points. They've been on the wrong side of this series. Niners are beat up too, though. So you want to talk me off the Rams? Because in one of the contests, they're six now, but I'm getting seven.
Yeah, I don't have the Rams rated very high. They have not brought in the players I thought to make them any better. They did very well against Detroit on that Monday night game because of Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. Amazing duo. I have no idea how that guy gets open when everyone in the world knows he's going to get the football. But now you have no Cooper Kupp, no offensive line, a very weak defense, and San Francisco is absolutely loaded. The only way you can beat the 49ers is run right at those pass runners. If you've got a good offensive line and you can run block, and like Minnesota did last week, you can keep that offense off the field, you can beat them. But the Rams' offensive line cannot win the battle in this game. The trenches will be won by the 49ers. As long as Purdy takes care of the football, I think the 49ers win by a couple touchdowns. But again, I'm not laying it because I don't want the 49ers to win by three and I lose laying seven. I'm looking for underdogs that are live and have a chance to win.
I got 20 seconds left. Tell people what they can find up at KennyWhiteSports.com.
Well, I think the biggest thing, Steve, I got a podcast that I do every day, 7 a.m. every morning, Bet the Gambit. Go watch the show. I break down games in my kind of style and I try to give as much information as I can for you.
Kenny, you're awesome, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk
Thanks,
to you next
guys.
Week. Good luck this weekend. There he is. Kenny White, been doing it a long time. And you heard it. I don't know how many times we have to tell people out there. You gotta try to find some dogs. Go against public perception. That's where the line value generally is. Another hour on the way with Cofield and Company here at Treasure Island.